Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in our first lesson, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. One of my family's favorite things to do in the summertime is to go camping. There's just something that we find relaxing and peaceful about being outside, sitting around the campfire. And one of the things that usually accompanies us on our camping trips are things that glow in the dark, whether it be those bouncy balls you can get at the dollar store or the glow sticks like we saw on the screen this morning. There's just something fun and fascinating about things that glow in the dark. Kids love those things. Whether it be fireflies or stars on their bedroom ceilings or even glow-in-the-dark pajamas. Kids are fascinated, maybe not just kids, by things that glow in the dark. Well, today the prophet Isaiah talks about light and darkness, but specifically he encourages us to shine, to glow in the dark. May the Holy Spirit bless this word of God and help us to see how Eastside glows in the dark. Scientifically speaking, darkness is the absence of light. Spiritually speaking, darkness is the absence of Jesus Christ. And when Isaiah writes these words, he's writing to the nation of Israel, and he's warning them of a time when they would be taken captive into Babylon. And this would be a time of great spiritual darkness. And for some of them, that darkness had already begun. Some in Israel had already been walking in the darkness of their sins. And so this captivity in Babylon was God's way of showing them their sin, showing them their need for a Savior, showing them their need for light. So I want you to picture in your mind a people that is sitting in complete and utter darkness. And they've finally reached the point of despondency and despair. They've just about given up all hope. And then they hear these words from Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you." With two strong verbs, two urgent commands, the prophet Isaiah wakes these people up out of their stupor. Get up! Stop wallowing in despair. Stop floundering in your sins. Arise! Don't mope around. Shine! Your light has come. Notice how certain Isaiah is as he makes this promise, as he gives this command to arise and shine. Even though Jesus would not come for another 750 years, Isaiah speaks as if it has already happened. Your light has come, he says. And that's how it is with the promises of God. Once those promises of God are made, it's as good as done. And so Isaiah's heart is rejoicing as he grasps the significance of the message that he's allowed to share with them. The bright light of Christ, the Redeemer, is coming. Now, living in this urban, suburban area like we do, we don't really understand or appreciate what darkness is really like. Even if you live out in the country, you still don't really grasp what true darkness is like unless you've actually been in a cave. If you've been in a cave and you've gone down far enough where there is no natural light and they just have artificial light so you can see what's going on, and you're in that cave and all of a sudden, and they usually warn you first, but all of a sudden they turn off all the lights. That's true darkness. It's so dark that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It's so dark that you can almost feel it. That's the kind of darkness that Isaiah is talking about here. He says, look, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness covers the peoples. That kind of darkness is paralyzing. If you were standing in that cave and all of a sudden the lights went out, you would be paralyzed. You would be terrified to move anywhere because you have no idea where you'd be going. No matter how hard you tried to see, no matter how hard you strained to look, you would have no idea where you were going. You'd be hopeless without some sort of light. Like darkness, sin is paralyzing. Just think about what keeps you from dedicating your life more to the Lord. What sins from your past have left you with spiritual scars that make it hard for you to share your faith? Maybe your life hasn't always reflected the light of Christ like it should. And so we're hesitant to talk about spiritual things. We're hesitant to talk about a Christian lifestyle. We're hesitant to share Jesus with people because, after all, who am I to tell someone else how to live when I can't even do it all the time myself? Yes, sin can be paralyzing. It's like being in total darkness. But what would happen if in that total darkness, all of a sudden you saw a pinhole of light? What would you do? Wouldn't you naturally gravitate toward that light? Wouldn't you walk toward that light in order to find your way to safety, to show you the way to go? How foolish would it be if we saw that pinhole of light and then we closed our eyes and refused to go towards it? Refuse to find our way to safety. If a light shines in the darkness of your sin, don't you look to that light for your escape? Isaiah says to us today, arise, shine. Your light has come. The darkness of sin that covered you and paralyzed you is no more. Your sins have been forgiven. Light has come into your dark world. Has driven away the hopelessness of sin. That shroud of sin and unbelief no longer hangs over us. Jesus himself said, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Through word and sacrament, Christ has brought us light and life in a sin-darkened world. So rise. And shine with that light. Glow in the dark. We glow. We shine. Because our light is bright. But that's not the case throughout the world. Isaiah turns our attention to a world covered in darkness. Look, darkness covers the earth. And deep darkness covers the people. Everyone in our world is guilty of sin. No one escapes. And whether they realize it or not, sin creates this trapped, suffocating feeling. Because apart from Christ, there is no light, there is no hope, there is no peace, there is no joy. There's only spiritual ignorance and sorrow and death which threaten to overwhelm and overcome the world. Apart from the light, people will die. But we have the light. As Christians, as members of Eastside, we reflect the light of Christ. We glow in the dark. And God guarantees that when we let that light shine, when we glow in the dark, people will see it and they'll be attracted to it. Nations will walk to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. How many of you have one of those bug zappers that you put out in the summertime? Aren't those things great? Mean, but great. You attract the bug with that shining ultraviolet blue light. And as the bug approaches that beautiful blue light, it crosses through that mesh wire which goes around the outside. And as it crosses through, it completes the circuit of current that's going through that mesh wire, and zap! No more bug. Do you realize that Isaiah pictures us like a bug zapper? Without the zapping and killing part, of course. The gospel draws people to itself. When we shine the truths of the gospel, people are drawn to us. When we let our light shine, people will notice. And they'll be attracted to it because the gospel draws universally. It doesn't distinguish between age or race or gender. Its gifts of forgiveness and peace and life are for all. And God says, when you let your light shine, people are going to come. Doesn't that seem too good to be true? Will unbelievers really flock to the light like bugs? Isaiah says, take notice. Look all around and see. All of them have been gathered. They are coming to you. Your sons will come from far away, and people will carry your daughters on their side. Do you doubt that? Just look around this morning. What brought you all here? It wasn't the coffee and the donuts. Wasn't it because of the promise of sins forgiven in word and sacrament? If you would drive around Madison this morning, you would drive by every single church in Madison this morning, and you looked at the parking lots, all the parking lots would have one thing in common. They'd all have cars in them. Don't doubt the power of the gospel at work. It draws people out of their snuggly warm beds on a Sunday morning during this wonderful Wisconsin weather. Now, it's hard to say that today. I mean, it's almost 50 degrees yesterday. But normally, it draws people out of their beds to gather with fellow Christians to be comforted with the news that Christ is their Savior from sin, that He is their light in this sin-darkened world. That light is attractive. And one of the neat pictures, the really neat pictures of Isaiah's prophecy is that these people who are attracted to the light will come bearing gifts. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will race with excitement and burst with joy, for great riches from the sea will be delivered to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Caravans of camels will cover your land. Young camels from Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba will come. They will carry gold and incense, and they will announce the good news of the praise of the Lord. These Gentiles who knew nothing about their Savior responded when they were exposed to the light. And they responded by bringing gifts and by singing praises of joy. The wise men in our gospel saw the star in the east, and they came to worship their Savior, and they came bearing gifts. And the same happens today. You have seen the light. You are living in that light. And you respond to that light with thank offerings for the gifts that that light brings to you. And so far, the members of Eastside have responded to that light with a 10% increase in offerings compared to this time last year. There is no doubt in my mind that Eastside glows in the dark. So what do you think it would look like if every single one of us made a conscious effort to let our light shine in this sin-darkened world? What would it look like If every single one of us made a conscious effort to share that light with others, would people be lined up to get into the parking lot, wanting to see what the light was all about? I can't say for sure, but I do know what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. In that same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.